Businesses have been the backbone of the Black community for years. The hub in Atlanta from the early 1900s was Sweet Auburn, so named by John Wesley Dobbs, the grandfather of the late Atlanta mayor, Maynard Jackson. But now Black-owned businesses are all over Metro Atlanta, and many of them got their start with the help of the Atlanta Business League, celebrating 85 years. Joining me to tell you more about the ABL is Leona Barr Davenport. She's the president and chief executive officer. Thank you for being here.
Monica, thank you for inviting me. It is always a pleasure. Always.
I'm excited about the Atlanta Business League because many of us forget that it's been around since 1933.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in actuality, we've been operating continuously under that name. It was actually around well before then because when the National Business League held its conference here in 1906, there was a functioning organization in the city.
Wow.
Yes, yes. So we've been around for longer, but we continue to utilize that 1933 as the founding date of the Atlanta Business League.
And I think a lot of people don't know that the National Business League was actually founded by Dr. Booker T. Washington.
Absolutely, absolutely. He was a man well ahead of his time. Well ahead of its time. I would encourage anyone who has not read about him. There are some misnomers out there about him and W.E.B. Du Bois and that are just kind of interesting. Dr. Washington really believed in using your hands in your community. Dr. Du Bois was more focused on actually education and nothing wrong with that.
But it was for the 10%.
Right,
it wasn't for everyone.
Absolutely. But Dr. Washington was phenomenal. And one quick story, if you don't mind my sharing. Somehow he met the owner of Eastman Kodak or was in his space. And Mr. Kodak, or Mr. Smith, actually, sent him a check that probably in these days and times would probably be valued at about $25 million. Sent it to him. Dr. Booker T. Washington was really surprised. It was for Tuskegee. And so he took horse and buggy and went to Boston to meet Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was so just enamored and just loved the work that he was doing. He hosted a dinner for him at his home and invited some of his wealthiest friends to come and to give. And each year thereafter, Mr. Smith, with Eastman Kodak, gave a check to Dr. Booker T. Washington for Tuskegee.
That is an amazing story.
It's powerful. There's more to it. I'm not going to embellish. I just want to give you just enough for people to do some research on it.
And I think that would be good to do because right now there's a lot of discussion about the kind of tension that was between Du Bois and between Booker T. Washington. But we're here to talk about what you do and what was his baby back then. So why do you think at that time period during the segregated times that there was this push in the city of Atlanta for Black businesses to put together an organization like the Atlanta Business League?
Well, Atlanta, interestingly enough, it really has always been an education city, a training city, a city where people were, to some degree, ahead of their time. And that's not only Black or Negroes at that time, but there were others who wanted to see a better Atlanta, even if it was for the dollar. You know, we want to be realistic as to why. And that's where that theme, a city too busy to hate, I think, comes in, because we realize that most people think of the South as just ignorant and all of these negative words that people thought about in the South. But Atlanta was coming into her time. And the right people, I think, came together, rather they realized the power of what they were doing or not, to begin to help grow Black business, colored business, Negro business, whatever name we want to call it, to help us move to why people see us now as the Black Mecca still.
So what is the mission of the Atlanta Business League?
The mission of the Atlanta Business League is to encourage the growth and development of African-American business owners, minority business owners, and female business owners in Metro Atlanta. That's our mission. And we do that by any means necessary. And if that means that we partner with major corporations, we talk with government to try to find ways to carve out business opportunities for Black business owners, we do that because we understand that there is power in growing Black business. There are some statistics out there. I didn't bring them with me. You know, we tend to hire, as business owners, we tend to hire people that look like us. So if Black businesses are not out there and they're not opening their doors and they're not employing people, there are some people that may not have a job because some business owners are just not going to open their doors to what they consider to be anyone. We're more receiving. And that's across the board. Across the board, we believe in the power of people, and we bring them in. We give them an opportunity, and we have helped people in this city to work to take care of their families because Black businesses are there to give them a chance.
Now, when you say minority business development, does that also mean you start out with people who just have an idea?
In some instances, we do. There are many of our members who join the organization because they want to be associated with business owners. They want to be in the room with them. They want to hear what they have to say. They want to learn from what they've done successfully and with what they've done wrong. So they join as associate members, and you may not have your business. You may have an idea. And so you join the Atlanta Business League. You come to the meetings. You get to meet your Michael Russells. You meet Milton Jones. You meet people at so many different levels. Steve Ewing, business owners who really have pulled themselves up out of what they've come to know through their education, through their corporate experiences, and they take all of that and they pour it into this great big bucket. And what we see is success in the city, and that's what we celebrate, and that's what we're celebrating this month.
With your 85
yes,
years in Black history.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I also realize, which I did not know until I went to the website, that you have student memberships.
Oh, we do. We do. We do. And it's only $20 with a student ID. And we encourage students to come and get involved. And we've had student memberships for years. And most recently, some of the collaborations that we've had, and we're growing this. I used to have at least 5 students to interview me a year for their communications classes at Clark Atlanta University. And so I said, you know, it's not just me. I'm just running the organization. You have these business owners that you need to talk to and find out what they did, how they're doing it. What would they do differently if they had the opportunity? And the wonderful part about that is the students have a chance to sit with the business owners to hear their stories, and then they write that up and they take it back and they share it with the class, which is powerful. Absolutely powerful. We're going to be doing more with that with Clark Atlanta University as well as Spelman. There's a new provost in town at Spelman, and we've already begun our conversations, but you will hear more about those kinds of initiatives. And we're going to be doing some things with another radio station in the city where we talk about the legacy of business in Black Atlanta.
And that leads into the next area I wanted to talk about. You do have a Hall of Fame.
We do. We do.
I think a lot of people aren't aware when they see something like the Russell Company that is a large construction company that's owned by an African-American family.
Absolutely.
Or you see something like a Brewster's that is owned by someone like a Mack Wilborn and Mack too, but
yes.
He has his hands in
yes.
lots of pots.
Yes, yes, yes.
But tell us about some of the businesses that have been around for a long time that we're not aware of.
You're absolutely right. Back in 2008, we were celebrating, I believe it was 2008, we were celebrating our 80th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken. Michael Russell was our chair. And so Michael looked at me one day and he said to me, and let me say one thing about Michael Russell and his being chair. He was excited to learn that he was stepping into a role that his father had never been in. He just assumed that his father had chaired the board of the Atlanta Business League.
And his father was Herman Russell,
exactly,
folks.
Exactly. But anyway, he said, so Leona, what are we going to do? What are we going to do exciting? And I had had a conversation with George Andrews, who was then president of Capital City Bank. And George said, Leona, we need to start a Black Business Hall of Fame. He said, we have all of this success in the city. No one's doing it. We need to do this. And he told me that, or we talked about it at least 2 years before I said to Michael, Black Business Hall of Fame, that's what we need to do. He said, I like that. And so for that 80th anniversary, we brought together approximately 40 Black business owners who had been in existence continuously for 25 years or more.
Oh, that's great.
And the two oldest at that time were Atlanta Life Insurance Company and Citizens Trust Bank. But the others were Barbara J. Alexander Realty, Barbara Alexander and her children, her sons were in the business, Willie A. Watkins Funeral Home. A lot of people don't think about that. Cox Funeral Home, who is over 100 years old, that is still in existence right now. Dobbs Ram and Company is no longer in business. Dobbs Ram was started by Bill Clement, William A. Clement, and his partner, and I'm drawing a blank on his partner's name right now, but they started a technology firm.
Oh, my goodness. Way back when it was
new. Exactly. But let me give you one point that most people do not know. His firm created the initial electronic filing system for the IRS.
That's amazing. That's a piece of Black history
I
didn't know about.
It is. It's just fantastic. They created that. And so there are a lot of just tidbits, areas. You mentioned Mac Wilburn earlier. Mac knows more about franchising than probably anyone in this city. And he is, I will use this term loosely, one of the most unassuming people that you will ever meet. And that's his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a walking, talking encyclopedia when it comes to franchising, politics, and business.
Well, few people know that when President Obama was running for office, he came here to Atlanta and had a fundraiser at Mac Wilburn's home.
At his home.
And I remember when Mac started out in McDonald's and then opened up Mac 2 to so many other things and is now at the airport.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's still a country boy from Arkansas.
Exactly. And a wonderful one at best. You will never meet a better person than Mac Wilburn. And those kinds of people keep us going because it's exciting to know and to be able to share not only that they exist, but they're willing to help, they're willing to share their knowledge, and they're willing to spend time with people who are serious. And I have to use that word serious. There are some people who want to start a business, but they want someone, they want to say, I want to start a business, and then they want someone to walk them through that process. You have to start that sprint on your own and let business owners, those who are serious, those who can assist, know that you're serious about it. You've got to do your research. And even if you change in the middle of the stream and decide, well, maybe that wasn't for me, but you have got to do your research.
Well, what I like is that the Atlanta Business League also provides training, and that's important with your monthly meetings. Talk about that.
Ongoing, our seminars range from one extreme to the other. It might be, and this is not an actual part of your business model, but how to interview. You know, you might be caught in a place where someone sticks a microphone in your face and asks you a question. What you say could impact you for years. But if you get the opportunity to speak in a microphone, have something in the back of your head that you can say about your business, about what you do, about what you provide. You may not get that opportunity again.
Your elevator speech.
And you never know who's listening and who's watching.
Yes.
And who may be willing, as a result of what you've said, to be of service and assistance to you. So our seminars range how to do business with the government, how to do business with the Coca-Cola Company. You know, specifically, what are they looking for? Why is it important to be certified as a minority business, as a female business, as a veteran? All of those different areas can propel you to a different place when you're going after a contract. There might be a special credit that you'll receive if you're a veteran that no one else will receive that could put you ahead of the crowd if you're competing for a contract. So there are just so many different nuances that business owners need to know. You just can't start a business and then wait for everybody to come. People need to know who you are, what you're doing, and you can't do it all from a computer.
And that networking, I think, to me, sounds like the most important thing about the Atlanta Business League.
Absolutely. The relationships. You will gain more relationships and connect with more people through our programming, through our trainings, through our Tuesday Talks, which is about 5 years old. And may I share more
Please.
About that? Our Tuesday Talks with ABL CEOs started about 5 years ago. I thought I was asleep. And all of a sudden, this name, Tuesday Talks with ABL CEOs, came to me. And the idea is that we ask CEOs in Metro Atlanta if they will spend an hour and a half to 2 hours with up to 10 of our members at one time in a roundtable kind of environment.
Ooh.
Where the CEO will talk about their industry, talk about opportunities, talk about how they did it. And they allow the members to ask questions. It's a great exchange with the CEOs and with our members. And so a couple of things come out of that. The CEOs have gain a greater knowledge of who our members are, what they do, what their capability is. It allows them to talk about themselves and their industry in a way they typically don't. And so it almost comes to some kind of level playing field, but everyone benefits. The members benefit from each other. I've had CEOs and top-level execs to say, when can I do it again? When can I do it again? We've had Dave Moody to do it at least twice.
And that's construction.
It's construction. And Dave has a huge story. We'll talk about that another day, not only as it relates to his business. We've had the general manager of the Hyatt Regency Atlanta. As we talk about what they do, how they do it, he was surprised to realize that there were vendors, business owners in the room who could do business with the Hyatt.
And what we need to mention there is that the general manager is a white man.
Exactly, exactly.
So even though the organization is the Atlanta Business League and is predominantly black, it is very well connected to the white community.
Absolutely.
Too.
And that was my statement at the beginning of the interview. By any means necessary, we will bring together anyone who is willing to work with us and to understand who we are, what we do, why we do it, because there's a value proposition not only to the business owner, but to the city and to the state economically. As we grow businesses, then you're creating taxpayers, you're impacting crime because you're getting some young people or some people off the streets, you're giving them a job, you're helping to build communities. So there's a domino effect that takes place as you grow businesses.
The Atlanta Business League is an incubator in many ways, it appears. What are you seeing in terms of the kinds of business growth that you haven't seen before, the kinds of businesses that are coming to you?
It's interesting. The kinds of businesses that are coming to us and that are growing, of course, more in technology than we'll ever realize. One you're aware of, but that the community still may not be aware of, which is very new, are these tech villages, if you will, these meeting spaces. And a great example is the Gathering Spot that is run by Ryan Wilson and his partner, but where they create spaces where business owners can come together. The initial thought was for millennials, but what they've come to realize is every business owner, no matter where you are and what kind of business you may be in, can benefit from a meeting space, a place where they can meet with like-minded people, where they can meet people that they may not know, where they can work away from their office in a different kind of creative environment. And so that's a great area right there for people to be in. Real estate agents have become a part of the organizations. The more people you know, the more people you know, and the more people that may know you. Those individuals who may be in sales, the more people you know, the more people it's a breeding ground for relationships to develop. And that's what we love. Insurance agents, very well concentrated with insurance agents, financial planners, and investment bankers. So the Atlanta Business League provides that ground for people to come and get out of their space, because so many of them are just stuck in their space. And I will give you a great example. Robert Shannon is an attorney here in the city. And a lot of people don't think of partners and lawyers as entrepreneurs. But for the most part, they eat what they kill.
Mm-hmm.
You don't produce, you don't eat. You don't stay in your space and your role that long. Robert was an attorney in the city, and he decided that if he looked around and he said, everything I do is with other lawyers. I've got to expand my territory. Robert came to the Atlanta Business League years ago, became a member, became very involved. The next thing you know, Robert is on the board. Then he becomes chairman of the board. And, you know, the rest is history. But became very involved, and he just expanded his network of people. And I just received a call from him very recently. There's someone that he wants to bring to the league who's in manufacturing so that we can talk more about that. That's one of those areas where we don't have enough African-Americans that are really concentrating in that space. And one of the reasons is that the investment is very, very, very high. You have to have money not only to invest, but then to maintain inventory. So, but it's I love it. I love it because there's just so much that we are faced with, that we experience, that we hear about, that we partner with other organizations on, because it's helping us to make a difference. And we know that we're making that difference because people tell us, they come back. And they share with us what has happened, the relationships that they've gained, and that they're doing business. And all of them do not come back and share with us that they are doing business with each other. But that's okay. That's good. We learn in due time.
Well, the Atlanta Business League, 85 years of helping to develop not only Black business, but business in general. Leona, thank you so much for being here, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. You will hear more from us as the year goes on with all that we'll be doing. The huge celebration, though, will be in November, and we'll invite you back.
I would
you were there
love to
5
be there.
Years
yes,
ago.
I was.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with you all, what's the email address?
The email address, my email address is ldavenport@atlantabusinessleague.org. Our website is atlantabusinessleague.org. Our telephone number is 404-584-8126.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
You're listening
you.
To KISS 104.1, the new KISS 104.1. Today's R&B and throwbacks.
Perfect.